Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to a very early edition of WrestleChat Radio's Raw Report. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York, and for the next 90 minutes, we will be discussing not only last night's Monday Night Raw, but of course, we will be having our crown jewel predictions on today's show. Before we get started with any of that, a little bit of news from the world of wrestling that I thought was kind of interesting because it was something that we had discussed on Sunday's show. And I was kind of happy to see that someone in the wrestling business agreed with me wholeheartedly. Eric Bischoff said, if I had any words of advice for Tony Khan, it would be shut up and just wrestle. You haven't beaten anyone. You haven't done anything. It's ridiculous for you to continue this nonsense of, well, in certain demographics, we won when the WWE was on a network that nobody gets, and then we did this and we did that. He said, look, you're not going to beat anyone doing that. And if you think that's coming from someone who gave away Raw's main events and everything, you're absolutely right. I did do all of those things. However, I was beating head-to-head Monday Night Raw. I didn't have a show after them. I didn't have a show that bled into theirs. I didn't have a show on a different night. I was going head to head with them and winning every single week for a long period of time. And even I know that it was a mistake what I did. And it led to eventually the downfall. So my advice to Tony Khan is shut up and wrestle. Don't worry about what the WWE is doing. Put your product out and it's good enough. Thought that was very, very interesting. Because that's exactly, Mike, what we had said Tony Khan needs to focus on.
Yeah.
So.
I'm here.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, go ahead and do that, I guess. What do you need?
Okay, we're having a little trouble with Mike's phone, so we're going to get back to him, but. Absolutely, no doubt about it, this is what Tony Khan needs to do, Todd.
Oh, you're absolutely right, like you said about Tony Khan. Well, like you said, he should have kept his mouth shut from the beginning. He should have, took Eric Bischoff's advice from the beginning. Just keep your mouth shut and just do a television program. That's as simple as that.
Absolutely. I don't understand this. So, this is why I said it could be a work, because I don't understand. Tony Khan for a long time was doing that. And then suddenly he has become obsessed. Obsessed with beating the WWE, obsessed with beating their numbers, obsessed at taking one demographic and saying, this demographic, if you want to split hairs and say on this particular 15-minute period with age groups of this to this, we actually want, well, that's ridiculous. I mean, what counts is how many people watched your show, period. Maybe sponsors care about age demographics, but overall, the network wants eyes on their product. And they don't really particularly care what age those eyes are. They want eyes on their product. They want eyes on their channel. So it's very interesting. I thought that we would start with that, but let's jump right into Monday Night Raw before we get to our predictions for the Saudi Arabian Crown Jewel show. Monday Night Raw this week, of course, the go-home show. You know, folks, I have to say it was better than SmackDown's. But it was a little bit weird, wasn't it? We started out, of course, with Xavier Woods and Jinder Mahal. Final of the ring. And to be perfectly honest with you, I thought that maybe, just maybe, they would let Jinder Mahal go over on this. Because my theory was Kofi Kingston was coming to ringside. I thought maybe, just maybe, because Kofi lost, somehow Kofi was going to accidentally cost Xavier. And Xavier was going to say, I hope you didn't do that on purpose because you lost. And we were going to start to see a potential feud. I really did. I really thought that might be where that's going. But no, that's not where it's going at all. Jinder Mahal's one-week push is over. It's so funny. I mean, they'll be like, okay, Jinder Mahal's being thrown to the wolves. He's being beaten every single week. And then all the King of the Ring tournament's coming up. He's going to look like $1 million for 2 weeks. And then he's going to be beaten again. Okay. You know, that's the trouble, I think, with some of what the WWE's product is that they're very inconsistent about what they want you to believe. Very, very inconsistent. So Xavier Woods wins. It was a good match. It was a decent match. And Xavier Woods is going to go on to face Finn Balor, which is interesting because usually the King of the Ring is sort of a heel gimmick, Mike. It's sort of something that normally, not every time, but a lot of the times, a heel wins that.
Yeah. A lot of the times a heel does win that, but again, I mean, look, unless they're planning on flipping Xavier or whatever, you know, I mean, it would have made sense if it would have made sense for that match to go to Jinder, because right now, yeah, he's lost a lot, but Jinder's a heel right now, so that would have made sense. Now, my question: are we just skipping around, or did we address Charlotte's promo?
No, we really didn't, because to be perfectly honest with you, what did she say? There's nothing to address. She comes out. This is Charlotte. You could mail in Charlotte's promo. You could literally say, well, Charlotte's not here, so we're just going to put a cardboard cutout of her in the ring, and she's just going to say the same things that she always says. She says, I'm this, and I'm that, and I deserve this, and I deserve that. And then somebody comes out and challenges her, and that's it. It's not a good promo because it's a repetitive promo. It's the same exact promo, just worded to whatever is happening currently. So if she's going to go to WrestleMania, it's that promo with WrestleMania tagline. If she's going to go to the Royal Rumble, it's that promo with the Royal Rumble tagline. It's getting old. It's getting old, quite frankly. And if Charlotte is truthfully concerned about how she doesn't seem to have the reaction she used to, or that fans are saying she's getting everything on a silver platter, she should realize that the same exact shtick every single week for years and years and years, it gets very boring. It gets very boring. And this was a very boring promo. Now, because Bianca Belair comes out, of course somebody's going to come out, and you know, we get the dynamic between those two, and that's fine. And to be honest, I was looking forward to that match, not looking forward to her promos. I don't like Bianca Belair's promos lately. I don't like Charlotte Flair's. I've never really liked Charlotte Flair's, because when they first started out, they were okay. But my God, it's the exact same thing. It never, ever changes. And that gets old after a while. I mean, there's a million things you could have said that would have shook this up differently. And instead, it goes right back to, I deserve, I deserve, I deserve, I deserve. That's her gimmick. That's it. That's her shtick. It's a one-trick pony, and the pony's getting old. So I didn't really address it because what's there to say? You know, what is there to say? We've seen it all before. We've heard it all before. Austin Theory and Jeff Hardy get kind of convoluted because Austin Theory is backstage doing a promo. And he's interrupted by the 24/7 belt there. And he gets into a little heated words with R-Truth. And R-Truth says, if you want to settle it in the ring, just say so. And he says, that's fine. And it turns out that R-Truth did not accept the challenge for himself, but he accepted the challenge for Jeff Hardy. Oh, well, yeah, that's a legally binding contract. Really weird. It's really weird. I'm impressed a little bit with Austin Theory. He is one of those people who he seems to be very sure of who he's supposed to be. See, this is a thing that the WWE often finds their wrestlers don't do. And that is, they're a little confused. What is my character supposed to be? Who am I supposed to be? How am I supposed to be? I'm a little confused. I think Karrion Kross is going through that. I think Damian Priest went through that for a while, where they weren't really sure, who is it that I'm supposed to be? Austin Theory knows exactly who he's supposed to be, and he's playing it well. Now, Jeff Hardy, who's switching to the other brand, you know he's not going to win. And I really wasn't even too thrilled about the fact that after he lost, which we knew he was going to lose, he ends up beating the hell out of him as if he's nothing. And I'm saying to myself, well, wait a minute. If you could do this after you took his finisher, how come you couldn't do it before you took his finisher? And so I thought it made Austin Theory look a little weak. I thought they should have just let it go. Just let it go. Let Austin Theory have the win. Send Jeff Hardy over. He's getting a fresh start anyway. He doesn't have to stand strong against Austin Theory on Monday Night Raw when he's leaving the brand. Just let it go. But they didn't, Todd. Instead, they decided to let Austin Theory, get his ass whooped after the match. I just thought it was pointless.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said about Austin Theory and the Jeff Hardy match last night. Well, like you said, it looks like they're going to probably make Austin Theory like a guinea pig getting beat up every week after what happened last night.
I don't know if he's going to be a guinea pig or get beat up every week, but what it felt like to me is that they were saying, well, we're going to let you win, but we got to let Jeff Hardy look like he could really kick your ass if push came to shove. And I'm not really sure I like that, Mike. I mean, if you're going to build up Austin Theory, go ahead and build him up, but don't hedge your bets.
Yeah, don't hedge your bet. And the other thing is this. Austin Theory is not a big guy. You know, he's not a big guy. He's not what they say they want, right?
Not really.
In a wrestling. Not really. I mean, you look at him. What was he doing in the NXT? He was over there in NXT with Johnny Gargano. You know, now, granted, Gargano's not a big guy, but right now, what's his name? What's the guy? Loomis is a bigger guy. He's in the 240, 245 range, you know. And so you've got that guy, and you've got this guy coming up. Now, is he going to be a flavor of the week where they high on him for 3, 4, 5 weeks and then he just disappears? We'll have to see.
Well, I mean, that's a good question. The good part is he's got a physique enough to make it look like he's probably a little heavier than most people would think he was. But you're right, he's not a huge guy or anything. So we'll see. But again, I worry about Austin Theory because when you're going to build somebody up, you don't say you're winning and then you're getting your ass kicked and handed to you after the match. Well, you know, who stands strong at the end? Well, it's Jeff Hardy who's standing strong at the end. You know, you had that thing where he's taking selfies with everybody he beats and nobody had really been able to do anything about it. You could have built that up for a while before somebody actually did do something about it. Now, once again, this is the second time you've used Jeff Hardy in a way that kind of undermines somebody you want to build up, because you did that with Karrion Kross too, losing in his very first, his Monday Night Raw debut to Jeff Hardy. So I don't know what the deal is there, but I really don't care for it. Anyway, Drew McIntyre backstage with Big E. They said, look, Drew McIntyre said, you know, listen, I might have went a little too far last week, but I thought you hit me on purpose. And in the heat of the battle, what happened happened. And Big E said, well, you know, I forcefully tagged myself in and stuff. I might have went a little too far. It doesn't matter. What matters is we got to be on the same page so we can beat the Dirty Dogs. Okay. Well, the problem with the Dirty Dogs is no matter which federation or which brand they go to, they just get their ass kicked. And this isn't even a tag team. So I was thinking to myself, well, maybe they were trying to play nice. This is maybe a real fight's going to break out between Drew McIntyre and Big E. And maybe the Dirty Dogs are going to get the rub off that. You know, they're going to wrap up Drew or Big E or whoever, have a big victory. But the fans will clearly be able to say, well, yeah, they had the big victory. But, I mean, these two guys started fighting each other. That's why. I really thought that was going to happen to promote the Drew McIntyre Big E match and at the same time give the Dirty Dogs a little bit of a rub. No, that didn't happen. McIntyre and Big E coexisted perfectly, squashed the Dirty Dogs, and then they have their little stare down where they look a little bit tense with each other and say, well, this, you know, Thursday we're going to go to war and I'm going to win. No, I'm going to win. Well, I'm going to tell you, as long as, see, this is the thing. As long as you're going to book something, could you not have promoted the Dirty Dogs on the way? Even if it's disqualification, I don't care. If you don't want either guy pinned, fine, then the disqualification. But Drew McIntyre and Big E should have came to blows, and the Dirty Dogs should have won somehow. Because if they did, at least you get two things from it. You get the buildup of Drew McIntyre and Big E, and you get the Dirty Dogs with a little bit of bragging rights, Todd, that they beat two top-level guys.
I mean, absolutely right there. Like you said, I remember back in the early 1990 when Hogan and the Warrior had their feud. They were teaming with Mr. Perfect and the Genius. I think it was Saturday Night's Main Event. And after the match, they came to blows as well.
After the match is one thing, but Mike, if they had done it during the match at some point, giving the Dirty Dogs a victory one way or the other, it would have accomplished two things instead of one.
Right, and if you really think about it, that situation was a little bit different because they just threw the Perfect and Lanny Poffo together on a whim. They just needed two guys, two warm bodies in that match. That match was to further the Hogan thing that would eventually would have him, quote, passing the torch to the Warrior at the time, right?
Yeah.
It wouldn't have Hogan turn heel. It wouldn't have, you know, or whatever. It wouldn't have the, it was just to further that angle of passing the torch because that's what they wanted Hogan to do at the time. So, it's a little bit different.
Well, yeah, and it's a lot different because you weren't, again, they weren't a regular tag team, neither one of them. So the Dirty Dogs are. So if you're going to, at the same time, you may as well accomplish two things with one match. And my point was, if the Dirty Dogs won somehow because of Drew McIntyre and Big E imploding, you would have gotten the build-up for Big E and Drew. And at the same time, you would have given the rub to the Dirty Dogs, who would have said, look who we beat. We beat the WWE champion and a former WWE champion. We're a great tag team. That's not a bad way to go. It's just not a bad way to go. I'm surprised the WWE didn't do it. Actually, I'm not surprised the WWE didn't do it. That's the sad point. Anyway, Mansoor takes on Cedric Alexander. I feel so sorry. Listen, I am so tired of the WWE doing this that it makes my head explode. I get so angry, and it's not the only time they did it this week. We'll get to that. You just barely hinted that it's possible that the Hurt Business is going to get back together, they're going to be on the same page, and they're going to be deadly. And now you got Cedric Alexander trotting out there as a warm-up for Mansoor versus Ali. There was nobody back there that you could throw against Mansoor? Tozawa? Somebody? No, couldn't do that. Has to be Cedric Alexander so that he can go down in a ball of fire and we can say, well, see, those guys still suck. How are they going to help Bobby Lashley? I don't understand. I do not understand this. It's mind-boggling. You've just barely reintroduced them as we're on the same page, we're focused again, we want to help Lashley, we want to get back together, we can be really deadly when we're on the same page. And then they're on the same page and they're not really deadly. And I'm going to tell you this, bad job by both Mansoor and Ali at the end of this match. Ali comes out and originally does an okay job saying, look, you're still a loser. That doesn't mean anything. You're not in the ring against me. Thursday, you know, I'm going to show you what you are. And then Mansoor snaps. Well, Mansoor snapping looked ridiculous and comical. It was almost comical. He did not look remotely like he was really angry. And what made it 100 times worse is that Ali has to sell, he's so angry, he actually has scared me now. Well, here's the problem. Mansoor's acting was so bad that I was laughing when he was trying to act like he was angry. So when Ali reacts that way, his job is now looking terrible because it's like I'm reacting to something that isn't even worth reacting to. In other words, Ali should have really just been one of – I get it. The WWE said go out there and keep poking the bear, and Ali's going to snap at you. And when he snaps at you, you got to look like, oh, shit, I didn't think this kid had that in him. What have I gotten myself into? I get that. Unfortunately, he didn't do a good job. So when you had to give that, oh, shit, what have I gotten myself into look, it looked ridiculous. The reaction, the way you can't ad lib, you can't go into business for yourself, I get it. But Mansoor's reaction should have led to Ali laughing at him, saying if that's the best you got, your ass is your elbow on Thursday. But no, Ali was told, well, you got to look panicky. What have I done? Well, then you got to get Mansoor to be a hell of a lot better with his expressions, because he just looked ridiculous and shouted some Arabic into the microphone. And, oh, by the way, it's in his hometown, in his home country. Normally, the WWE have you lose in your hometown, but you promise you that's not going to happen. So I thought this was all the way around, this was bad, Mike. It hurt the Hurt Business. I think it revealed Mansoor as not being a very good actor. It didn't give any, there was no way to play off it for Ali, so it was not good.
It wasn't good at all. And think about this. They wrecked the Hurt Business even before MVP got back.
I know. It's so ridiculous. I can't believe they did that, Mike. I mean, did they not just kind of hint that these guys were on the same page and going to be back together stronger than ever?
Right, and it seemed like the fans were into it. You know, it seemed like the fans were into this thing. I mean, like you said, couldn't they have done this match with somebody different? I mean, couldn't they have done it with, I don't know, like you said, Tozawa or R-Truth or anybody would have been better. You know, don't do it with him. You know, don't do it with either one of these two guys. You know, do it with somebody else.
Yeah, because you're supposed to be protecting them. I thought, how are we supposed to buy into the Hurt Business is going to be tough again when Mansoor kicks the hell out of Cedric Alexander fair and square in just a few minutes? Mansoor has been laying on his back for 6 months. 3 months, however long it's been. Now all of a sudden he's found this inner turmoil and rage, and oh my God, it's not going to work. I'm telling you why it's not going to work. It was working when you had Mansoor portrayed as a very humble kid who really didn't get mad. I really liked last week's spot where, after being basically told he was garbage, he turns to the announcer and says, well, I'll talk to him later and we'll work it out. And then Ali attacks him, because I thought, well, that's the character Mansoor is going to play. He's going to play this guy who's just, he's sort of unflappable. He's the guy that you yell and scream at, and he's just like, okay, all right, you know, that's fine. And I think that suits his personality. I don't think this suits his personality, because I actually laughed when he's trying to, you should not laugh when somebody's trying to be mad. And I actually laughed. Not as much as I laughed at Bill Goldberg and Bobby Lashley in their split screen thing. Oh, was that bad. Was that bad. But now, here's the thing. You had to know that that was bad before you even shot it. Because you know Bill Goldberg is not a great promo. And you know Bobby Lashley struggles himself. That's why you put MVP with them to begin with. So now you put these two guys together. And oh boy. Oh boy. We'll get to who we think's going to win and all that in the second half of this show, but not a good segment, Todd. Neither one of these guys are very good on the mic.
I think you're absolutely right there, like you said, about Goldberg and Bobby Lashley. We all know back in the day with Goldberg, he was not great with promos at all, especially in his WCW days. It just was one of the worst promos I ever seen in a long time.
It wasn't too good. It was not too good. And it's such an easy thing, Mike, because all Goldberg has to say, he doesn't have to do that 1980s, I'm laughing, but I'm really angry, Goldberg. All Goldberg had to do for once in his career is to stay really stone-faced and kind of quiet and say, Bobby, you can say what you want to say. You can come out here with all the hype you want to come out with. You can come out with all the professional wrestling shtick. And I know it would be great if I came out here with all the professional wrestling shtick. It would be great if I came out here and said, you're next, and everything that the fans expect. But I'm not going to do that, Bobby, because you put your hands on my kid and it's over. It's done. The professional wrestling shtick ass. It's not going to be a wrestling match. I don't care about your title. It doesn't even affect me one way or the other. I'm coming there to kick your ass and teach you a lesson. That's it. That would have been good, because he would have said, well, that's a little different than Goldberg. There's no hype here. Goldberg's not trying to be Goldberg. Goldberg's being a dad. He's just saying, look, you put your hands on my son. That's the end of it. It's not about your title, because you don't have it anymore. It never really was about your title, but now it certainly isn't. It's not about trying to be a number one contender. It's not about trying to put on a good match. It's about me as a dad kicking the ass of the guy who put his hands on my son. You did that. That's it. And Lashley's response should have been, this is not really what I signed up for. I'm a professional wrestler. I'm a professional athlete. I'm not going in here in some kind of vengeful, he thinks that I've tried to hurt his kid routine. Well, what is this all about? And it would have been interesting. You could have played that gimmick up pretty well, where the announcers were even saying, this is a very different Goldberg. He's not really this. He's not hyping anything. He's not doing what he normally does. He means this. He's going in there to kick Bobby Lashley's ass, and I'm a little worried. And Bobby Lashley really stepped in it, because he's the one who said he wanted a no DQ match. And now that plays right up to what Bill Goldberg just said. He can do anything he wants. That would have been interesting, Mike. Instead, they decided to go with a 1980s shtick.
Right. You know, and that's, and again, this is what they call an unforced error. It really is. I mean, and look, we know that the other side of this situation, Bobby Lashley did a all right job, but he too is not good with his promos. That's why you had, you know, MVP there. He definitely misses MVP, does Bobby Lashley.
Absolutely.
Now, as far, just one more thing about the whole Monster thing and his facial expressions and stuff, you know, and that type of thing. Remember, one of the best persons with facial expressions, with that particular facial expression of, oh, crap, what's going to happen to me now, was Vince McMahon.
Yeah.
Remember all those times when Stone Cold's music would hit and all of a sudden you would see that look on his face?
Yeah, but he had good reason. See, that's the thing, because we all knew who was coming out and we all knew what he was capable of. We don't have any. Mansoor was like a kid throwing a temper tantrum because he didn't get what he wanted on Christmas. There was nothing, put it this way, Mansoor has done nothing to indicate that he is someone you should be extraordinarily fearful of if they're angry. Steve Austin, on the other hand, was someone that you said he was pretty badass when he was happy. So if you really made him mad, that's not good. See, that's why that worked. Now, if that had been, I don't know, any number of wrestlers that Ali was doing that with, and they snapped. You could have seen Ali's facial expression and say, that's pretty good. He did a good job. My point was, the reason Ali did a bad job is he had nothing to play off of. Because Mansoor does not have that reputation. He does not have that instinct. He does not have that demeanor, and it didn't work. So in other words, if you're told to go out there and be shocked when I start snapping at you, Mike, and say I'm gonna kick your ass, and I do it like so poorly that I look like a little baby, and you still have to do it, you come off looking bad too. You got no choice but to do it, but you come off looking bad because your reaction to me isn't what fans' reaction or anybody watching would have been. As opposed to the reaction of, say, like Triple H when he thought he was fighting Dude Love. And he said, well, I'm not going to fight you, actually. I got a friend of mine that's going to fight you, and it turned out to be Cactus Jack. And when he saw Cactus Jack, he was like, oh, shit. That works, because look at the reputation where you're like, I've just stepped in it. But that's not what happened. And so Mansoor's facial expressions, while it might have been okay had Mansoor did a better job, seemed really out of place. And if he's going to be that terrified of just that, what's going to happen when he fights major people? You know what I mean? That this is not boding well for Ali. It's not boding well for him at all. Before we go on, I do want to say two things, and that is, one, Karrion Kross supposedly getting a new gimmick yet. They're saying he's going to be a more like psychotic sort of person, a little quieter, but still with that like psychotic demeanor, maybe a little more like Dexter Lumis, I guess, is what they're saying. And Alexa Bliss apparently posted an Instagram picture of herself, perfectly normal, no goth, no nothing. So it looks like she might be coming back without that gimmick. That'll be interesting to see. Not sure I agree with it, but that'll be interesting to see. Anyway, Street Profits backstage run into AJ Styles and Omos. And AJ Styles and Omos basically tell him, look, if you go out there and lay a whooping on RK-Bro, when we win the belts, and we're going to win them, you just might be the first guys in line. We might give you that favor if you do us the favor. To which they basically said, no thanks. We're here to kick everybody's ass. We're not going to be doing that kind of stuff. Well, look, this match ended up, obviously, with AJ Styles and almost interfering, causing a disqualification. Not something the fans wanted to see. Good match. But I think the fans wanted an ending of some kind. They didn't get it. Now, once again, I think the WWE missed the boat. It's not a title match. So why couldn't Omos and AJ Styles have caused RK-Bro to lose? Then you have the Street Profits saying, I don't care what anybody says, we still beat the tag team champions. And, of course, Orton and Riddle could have said, well, that's Almos's and AJ's fault, and they're going to get it on Thursday. It's just a double build. They always seem to they duck these double builds, Todd, and I don't get it.
Absolutely right there. Like you said, they do this double build booking of these matches. Like, it's like you don't get it, I don't get it, Mike doesn't get it, everybody on this panel don't get it.
It just seems, Mike, that they say, well, we don't want either team to lose. Well, the tag team champions in this situation, getting a loss wouldn't have hurt.
Right. And think about this. A couple months ago, we were talking about possibly the Street Profits turning heel, right? Well,
right.
That would be a tease, because them taking credit for a win, even though it was caused by Omos and AJ, that's a heel move, right? I mean,
I would say so.
So go ahead and turn them heel. That would have helped the lead to turn them heel, and possibly, look, we've also said that this whole thing that Bianca Belair, the EST of NXT and all this WWE, that's a heel gimmick too, you know. And she probably needs to be heel at some point. Probably.
Well, the
soon.
Thing is, they're so overwhelmed. They're so overwhelmed at this moment with every girl has the same gimmick. I'm the queen. I'm the boss. I'm the EST. I'm the man. That's just four different words for the same thing. It's the same thing. There isn't too many gimmicks that are different. The difference between the boss and the queen. What's the difference between the boss and the man? What's the difference between the man and the EST? I mean, every gimmick for the woman is I'm the best. That's the gimmick. Hey, 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 hey. Just lazy. Again, that's just laziness. I'm sorry, but it is. You could have these people have way different, very unique personalities. And instead, every one of their personalities is I'm an egomaniac. I'm the best. I'm the man. I'm the boss. I'm the EST. That's all it's about. I want to clear something up because I promised I would. Somebody wrote me and said, did you know, I heard you say that Nyla Rose, you know, you weren't too big on the idea of men fighting women, even if they're transgender, even if it's wrestling where it doesn't count. Well, number one, I didn't say that. I said it doesn't really matter because it's predetermined. So you weren't listening to me very clearly. I said it really doesn't matter because it's predetermined. I just think that, what's the point, you know, either way, the men are fighting women and women are fighting men nowadays, so it doesn't really matter. But then they said, did you know transgender? Well, my friend, you're reading it wrong. Yes, there is a transgender woman in Japan named Asuka who was born a man. It is not Asuka from the WWE, I assure you. Okay. I guess he read it somewhere and he thought, well, it must be Asuka, but no. You're talking about Kana. In Japan, it was Kana. They gave her the name Asuka when she came to the United States. That's already been taken in Japan by this transgender wrestler. So no, Kana, Asuka, WWE's Asuka is not a transgender person. Kind of funny, so I figured I'd address it on the air. I would think it's pretty obvious that she's not, but okay. Anyway, Queen's Crown Tournament Finals, Doudrop versus Shayna Baszler. And once again, I tear my hair out and say, why are you building up Shayna Baszler as this psychotic, I'm going to break your arm type person, and then she loses in 2 minutes to Doudrop? This is why I hate the WWE. This is why it frustrates me beyond all belief. Because just when I think you're going to build somebody, just when I think, okay, this is going to be Shayna Baszler's run here for the next 3 or 4 months, we're going to see Shayna Baszler on a tear. And it's going to lead to probably Nia Jax coming back or something. We're going to lead to a big deal, right? Nope. Doudrop beats her, no problem. Okay. Well, then I don't know. She's right back to the middle of the pack again. Why did you bother? Why did you bother with all of this arm-breaking nonsense? Why did you bother with it? So now we got Doudrop going to the finals. And I'm just saying, against Zelina Vega. Zelina Vega's won exactly one match since she got back, and that was the match. Two matches, I guess. She's won two matches since she got back. Since this tournament started, she's won two matches. Aside from that, she hasn't won a thing. Queen Zelina, what are we going to do? We're going to have Queen Zelina against Carmella, I guess, if that works, or Queen Doudrop? Wow, has this women's tournament been a disaster? And I don't mean a little bit of a disaster. I mean a full-fledged, absolutely ridiculous debacle of a disaster. You got a finals match that isn't even a warm-up match on Monday Night Raw. because if Doudrop can beat Shayna Baszler and she can't beat Zelina Vega, then I don't know what in the blue hell the WWE is smoking, because everyone has beaten Zelina Vega, including Doudrop. It's outrageous. The finals of this match should have been two really top-flight people. You had a chance with Shayna Baszler. Instead, no, let's use this to promote the undercard. Well, that's not what the king and queen of the ring thing is supposed to be. It's supposed to be the cream of the crop, not the undercard. I can't believe they did this to Shayna Baszler, Mike. It's unbelievable.
You know, I can't believe it either. I mean, and look, I'm glad they haven't brought Asuka back. You know, because you know what's going to happen with that if they would have brought her back right now, because, you know, they'd be making her look like a ham and egger, you know?
You know, that it's sad. It's probably true. They probably would have. She probably would have lost in the semifinals. It's really sad. It's not that Doudrop's not a good wrestler, Todd, but... I mean, she hasn't been promoted as being someone that would be the queen of the ring, and certainly Zelina Vega hasn't been.
Well, you're absolutely right there, like you said, with Doudrop and everything. She just came up on the main roster like a couple months ago, and like I said, like you said, I don't think she's ready for that queen's crown thingy yet.
Neither one of the – it's just – it's pathetic. It's been a really bad – all of the matches combined – hasn't went like 10 minutes. It's just terrible. We then get Xavier Woods coming out to sit on the throne to watch Finn Balor take on Mace. And again, once again, I tear my hair out when I see that his opponent's going to be Mace. I said, I don't believe this. You've just broke up Retribution. You just had Mace cut a promo saying, I am here to destroy everyone. He's got a new lease on life. You put him on SmackDown as a solo wrestler, and his debut on SmackDown is against Finn Balor as a warm-up to face Xavier Woods at Crown Jewel. Because, of course, there was no one else in that locker room that could have fought Finn Balor that it really wouldn't have mattered if he lost, right? You have to pick Mace. So... big deal. Then his whole thing is done now. I mean, he lost in like 4 minutes. He's done. You had a chance to rebuild somebody. You had a chance to take this guy and literally say, look, he's going to go on a tear here so that we can say maybe he was better suited to singles. He seems to be much more vicious, and he's very strong, and then this, that, and the other thing, and he's tearing through some competition. Would have been great. New lease on life. You've created a new, you know, at least upper mid-carder, right? No. Let's throw him to Finn Balor. Just as a warm-up to face Xavier Woods at Crown Jewel. That's, you want to know what's wrong with WWE? I've just pinpointed it. You have no idea how to use and utilize the people who come onto your roster. Why? You might as well have kept Mace where he was then. What is the point of switching brands if he's just going to be a throwaway guy? You may as well have used him. You may as well have let him had a few victories and seen where it went. Is this character going to be interesting? Are fans going to boo the hell out of him or cheer him? Whatever it's going to be, let's flesh him out a little bit and see if we got anything here. Nope. Throw him to the wolves immediately. Immediately throw him to the wolves. I just don't get it, Mike. At this point, I no longer understand what the WWE's philosophy is when it comes to this kind of thing.
And I'll say this. They keep saying they want bigger athletes, right? They want bigger guys. And what is Mace? What is T-Bar?
Finn Balor's the smallest guy you got. You just let him go over on a guy that's three times his size in 3 minutes.
Yep.
Makes no sense, Mike. I don't know anymore what the WWE wants. I wish I did. You know, I wish I could get on here and say, well, the WWE's direction is clearly going toward this, and you either like it or you don't, but at least we know what direction they're going. I have no idea. I don't even know who's driving the car anymore. Because one minute we hear we're moving in a bigger direction. We want bigger gear, more powerful athletes. We're kind of getting away from the flippy-dippy stuff. Okay, well, I don't know. You're promoting all the flippy-dippy people now. You have a chance with all these people. No. Throw them to the wolves. Okay, well, then I don't know. I guess you're going with Finn Balor. Because I got a news flash. If Xavier Woods wins, this, as much as I look, out of the two, I like Xavier Woods a million times better than Finn Balor. But out of the two, Finn Balor's got to win. Because Xavier Woods is a tag team guy. What are you going to do? Here come the New Day with Kofi Kingston and King Xavier. Well, that doesn't make any sense because the King is like an individual achievement. So I don't understand why you would do that. Terrible. Terrible. The finals are terrible. It would have been better if it was Jinder Mahal. I still would have said, oh, well, obviously Finn Balor is probably winning, but maybe not because they've been promoting Jinder. Maybe they're going to do some weird thing where he's like the king of, you know, whatever, the Middle East. Nope, it's going to be Xavier. Now, is it going to be a better match? Of course it's going to be a better match, but that's not the point. The point is Xavier's probably not winning because he's a tag team guy, and I don't know what you're going to do with Finn as King Finn. Or are they going to do the Demon King? Is that what you're going to do? And he's going to be in the demon makeup all the time? I don't know what you're going to do. But either way, I don't like it. I think it's a waste of time. It feels like a waste of time. The King of the Ring means nothing this year, as far as I'm concerned. And we get the Bianca Belair versus Charlotte Flair. This was an excellent match, but of course it has to be a disqualification. So you rip the fans off of your main event ending. You rip the fans off of what I would consider your second main event, which was the Street Profits versus RK-Bro. So both of your main matches end in disqualifications. Congratulations. A wonderful go-home show. I'm giving this show, I'm going to be kind, because there was a couple of good matches. Bianca Belair and Charlotte was very good as far as what, you know, until the end. And also the Street Profits and RK-Bro was a good match until the end. So I'm going to give it a C-, but Mike, it could very easily be worse than that.
Yeah, it could be. Without those two matches and without, you know, the Antissa. Well, before we saw what happened with the Hurt Business, when they came out, I'm saying, okay, here we go. You know, here we go. We're going to see Cedric Alexander or Shelton Benjamin win or whatever. I didn't really know who was going to be in the match, but I assumed they were going to win. And I said, here we go. We're going to have something good here. No, we talked about that already. So I'd like to give it a C-, but to me, even those two good matches can't save it from being a D+.
Yeah, you know, I feel you. I really do. I feel you. I'm being kind this week just because I want to see what's happening at Crown Jewel, but it was not a good go-home show, Todd.
You're absolutely right there, like you said, except for those two matches. I'm going to go with you. I'm going to go on with the same grade with you. I'm going to be kind as well with the same grade.
So it still fails. That's the problem. It still failed on a lot of fronts. Again, you could have had Xavier Woods and Kofi Kingston kind of being, you know, not necessarily at each other's throats, but Kofi Kingston saying, do you really think I would rip you off just because I didn't win? And Xavier Woods saying, well, no, but boy, it does seem weird, doesn't it? And we know there's tension there. That would have been interesting. Would have been interesting if we had Drew McIntyre and Big E really break out into a fight where, once again, you know, you could have gave the rubs to the Dirty Dogs a little bit. There's a lot of things that would have been more interesting if they had adjusted. And Shayna Baszler being in the tournament, well, Shayna Baszler against Zelina Vega wouldn't have been too good either, would it? Anyway, let's get to our predictions. for the Crown Jewel show, at least the matches we know. Let's start out with Mansoor versus Mustafa Ali. Now, truthfully, you're going to have to decide, WWE, who do you want to promote? Who's the guy out of these two? Because if it is Mansoor, then he's got to win. He's got to win in his hometown, in his home country, and be a big hero, and that's the way it's got to be. And that's most likely what's going to happen. But if you've decided, well, no, we're going to push Ali a little bit as this cowardly heel who somehow gets over, this is the perfect opportunity to do it. He's going to get booed out of the building if he wins. He's going to get heat beyond belief if he wins. So you need to think about this logically, and you need to ask yourself, who are we running with in the next couple of months? Are we running with Ali, or are we running with Mansoor? Now, as much as I'm not an Ali fan, I think he's a good athlete. He's too small. I thought you said you didn't want to go with small guys. And I don't like a lot of the things he said outside the ring, put it that way. Ali should probably win this. He has the most experience. He's probably got the best out of the two. He's probably got the better chance of becoming something. Because I'm looking at Mansoor and I'm saying, this is a guy who's going to be an adequate wrestler for, you know, the remainder of his career. He's okay. He's not going to be anything better than that. I just don't see it. He's not your next big guy. Neither is Ali, but Ali can give you more, I think, in the long run. So my personal choice would be I would let Ali go over in his home country, in his hometown, and really rub it in and get Ali some extreme heat. But they're not going to do it. I'm telling you right now, they're not going to do it because they don't want the plane stalled on the tarmac. So I do believe that Mansoor will win this rather handily, Mike.
Yeah, and think about this. If Mansoor was from America, that's exactly what would happen. He'd lose in his hometown.
Yep.
If he was from America. Because they've done it before. What did they do with Bayley when she went back to, San Jose?
That's right. And I'm not even necessarily against it, Mike, because, yeah, he gets good heat for the heel. But I don't think it's going to happen this time.
Right.
So I guess your pick is also Mansoor?
Yep, Mansoor.
Pretty obvious one, Todd. What do you think?
I'm going to go with Mansoor as well.
Yeah. So, again, you know, kind of a predictable thing. Let's go with the Queen's Crown Finals. Well, at this point, I don't know. I mean, anything is possible because it's an alternate reality. All of a sudden, Zelina Vega is tough, and Doudrop is viable for the Queen. So I don't know. I don't know. I don't really even care. See, that's the problem. It's not that I don't know even. It's that I don't care. It's going to be worthless regardless. Queen Doudrop sounds like a Super Mario Brothers character. And Queen Zelina, what's that got to prove? So now we got a queen. So here's what we're going to have. We're going to have a queen. We're going to have another queen. We're going to have a man. We're going to have an EST. We're going to have a boss. How imaginative. If I had to pick, I'd say Doudrop, because I don't see why. Why would they promote Zelina Vega at this point? They never did. They hadn't when she came back. I don't see anything. That's not going to help her much. At least Doudrop has won her share of matches, and she's looked tough, and she's one of these people that you say, well, she's a force to be reckoned with because she's big. So I'm going to go with Doudrop, Mike. I think probably they'll give it to her. Not that I really care one way or the other.
I don't care one way or the other. I mean, it would make more sense if they would have. I don't know why they named her Doudrop. Piper Niven was fine, you know. Queen Piper would make sense. It's a tougher name and all that stuff. So, you know, it is what it is. I mean, to me, you need to give it to her And yeah, Queen Piper, Queen Dewdrop, yeah, she, and it makes sense because she's from England and all that stuff and this, that, and the other. So yeah, it's gonna be her, and really, you know, she's a better athlete than some of the bigger girls they have on the roster anyway. I mean, look, we know about Nia Jax and Tamina. They're good for what they are, and Nia Jax is not very good at anything, so be it, you know.
Yeah, you know, I think you're right. I think Piper Niven is kind of what they hoped Nia Jax was going to be. It's like a big girl who can actually work. So I think they're going to give it to her. I don't know if it's going to help her. Here's the thing, if she doesn't win, if she loses to one of the smallest women on the roster, because Zelina Vega is pretty tiny, if she loses to one of the smallest women on the roster, her worth is going to dramatically drop. She's not going to look very tough at all. So I think they almost got to give it to Dewdrop. Otherwise, they might as well throw her out the window with her other half there, Todd.
You're absolutely right there, like you said about this match with Dewdrop and Zelina Vega. They're going to probably end up giving it to Dewdrop anyway.
I would say so. All right, let's move on here a little bit, and I guess we will go to the King of the Ring finals next. Finn Balor versus Xavier Woods. Here's what I would like to see. I would like to see Xavier Woods win in a way that's not exactly clean, but not blatantly dirty, leading to Finn Balor turning heel. Because I think a Finn Balor heel run is probably better than this Finn Balor run that he's doing now. And I think some return matches with those two would be fun, especially if Finn Balor was a heel. I don't think you're going to see that. I think you're going to see the opposite. I think Finn Balor's going to win. Prince to a king, we get it. Said it from the very beginning when he was announced. Well, there's your winner. And I still think that's your winner, Mike.
I think so, too. And look, I don't know. I mean, the King of the Ring means little to nothing. And King, the Demon King, might be exactly where they're headed with this thing.
Yeah, it might be. I mean, listen, it's something for him to do. But again, wouldn't it behoove them to say, well, wait a minute. Let's give Xavier the crown, even though he's a tag team guy. Let's give him a crown for a short period of time. Start the feud with Finn Balor that's actually a heel Finn Balor. We'll give it to Balor then, like he'll defend it or something. And Balor will be a heel king. And now that demon will mean something because people will say, well, if he gets into that demon mode, he's tough to beat and he's a bad guy. He's the heel. Makes more sense. I don't know. I don't necessarily think they're going to do it. I think they're just going to flat out give it to Finn Balor. Todd, what's your thoughts?
Said, yeah, absolutely. Like you said, a heel demon Finn Balor, a heel Finn Balor would be better than a face demon Finn Balor or a face Prince Finn Balor. I think it works really better with the heel persona, him as a king.
Yeah, so do I. So we'll see what they go with. But anyway, let's go to the tag team championship match, RK-Bro versus AJ Styles and Omos. I don't see them giving it back to AJ Styles and Omos. As a matter of fact, the rumor mill had said that they were breaking up AJ Styles and Omos about a month ago. And then the powers that be said, we don't think Omos is ready. And much like we had speculated on this show, they had hooked up AJ Styles with Omos so that AJ could kind of walk him through matches and get him ready. He was like his mentor, basically. And they said, you know, it might be time for the baby bird to fly on his own, but then they decided, maybe not. Maybe we need to keep AJ with him a little more and learn him a little better and before we cut him loose. Having said that, they're not going to be the tag team champions. The RK-Bro thing is working too well. I know there's people saying, you think this is where RK-Bro breaks up? No. Do you think this is where AJ almost breaks up? It depends. The WWE is satisfied with his how well he's come along. It could be. Could be. But if they're not, and from all indications, they're not, then no, they're going to keep him together a little while longer because they think almost needs it. And he probably does. I don't know how much AJ Styles can teach him. See, this is the thing. It's not that AJ Styles isn't a guy who could teach anybody the finer points of wrestling. It's just that almost doesn't need to know the finer points of wrestling. He's not anything like AJ Styles. He's just going to be a monster who smacks you around and kicks you and punches you and headbutts you and throws you around. So I'm not really sure you need a technical expert to tutor almost because he's not going to be that guy. I guess AJ's just trying to teach him the more subtle parts of wrestling, but at the end of the day, he's just, he's a mauler. He is what he is. He's not going to be anything else. He's going to be a mauler. So I'm going to go with Team RK-Bro. I think they win again. They'll pin AJ. They won't pin Almost because they're trying to keep Almost strong, Mike. Well, let's go to Todd. Mike's not there again.
I mean, you're absolutely right there, like you said, with Almost. You know, like you said, with AJ Styles, he's going to probably get pinned this Thursday, not Almost. It would be interested, but it's not going to be him turn. It would be interest. I like to see him turn on AJ, but I don't think it's going to happen.
No, I don't think it is either, and I'll tell you why. I don't know where that goes. I don't think anybody's real interested in AJ versus Almost. That's number one. And number two, who's the heel? I think they want to keep Almost a heel. I'm pretty sure they want to keep Almost a heel. So you're going to flip AJ? Right now, I mean, you could, but I don't see it. I just don't see it. So I'm going to go with RK-Bro. Todd's going with RK-Bro. Mike, what's your choice? I'm having a little bit of trouble with Mike's line. Are you there, Mike? No, Mike is not there. Okay, so let's move on. And we will go to, I guess, Seth Rollins and Edge in Hell in a Cell. This one could possibly steal the show. Really could. You got somebody in Seth Rollins who's very, very, very used to Hell in a Cell. As is Edge, to an extent. Edge is a little more limited than he used to be. But he's still looking pretty good. And he has always had the good ring psychology, and Seth Rollins does too. So I'm sure they got a very, very, very good match planned. And Seth Rollins is very good at what I call the Shawn Michaels syndrome, and that is that Seth has a good feel for how he has to approach his opponent. In other words, if it's a guy who's going to tire out easy, he knows he's got to make all the motion. If it's a guy who's more, gymnastic than him, he knows he's got to sell that. He knows what he's got to sell about his opponent. He understands very clearly you don't approach every single wrestling match the same way. It depends on who your opponent is. He knows Edge very well. And I think they're going to have a really barn burner match. This is the match I'm most looking forward to, actually. Having said that, I don't think you can insult a man's wife, his children, storm into his house, do all this kind of stuff, and then win. I don't see it. It would make it look weak and defenseless. I don't know how long. So I think this has got to be Edge's revenge, obviously. So I'm going to go with Edge in this. I think Edge will probably win. Let's try Mike's phone again. Mike, are you there?
I will go with Edge as well, And the fact of the matter is, look, this is probably going to be Edge's last match. Not last match, but for a while.
For a little while, yeah.
You know, so, yeah, and we know what they're trying. We know what ultimately we'd like to see happen with Seth Rollins. Now, will it happen anytime soon? Because Becky is a heel right now, but it's not. Becky as a heel is not really going anyplace, you know? So
yeah. At
some point, you're going to flip her back face, and you're going to probably try and take Seth Rollins with her, you know?
You would think, and that's why I think Seth is going to lose. Again, you don't want Edge to say, I'm coming back from being carted out in an ambulance. Seth Rollins invading my house. Disrespecting my wife and children, and I'm losing. I don't think that's just not going to work. So, obviously, Edge will win this. Let's go to Bobby Lashley versus Goldberg. Here's the thing about this. Could be better than people are thinking, and I'll tell you why. Because I don't think a lot of it's going to take place in the ring. I think they're going to do a lot of outside brawling, which is going to help Goldberg, because when you have those type of matches where Goldberg doesn't have to execute in the ring, he just has to throw punches and kicks and pick up a chair and whatever. Number one, it's easier. Number two, there's a lot of rest there. You don't have to be in such great cardio shape to do those type of matches. Bobby Lashley's really come a long way. I know that sounds dumb because he's wrestled for so long, but I'm telling you that the Bobby Lashley I saw in Impact wrestle, and even the Bobby Lashley I saw when he first entered the WWE again and was feuding with Sami Zayn and those type of things, this is a different Bobby Lashley. He has really caught what the WWE style of wrestling is, and he's good at it. And I think this could be a better match than people think. I think it's going to be a little longer than a normal Goldberg match. I don't think it's going to be a 1-2 minute match. I don't. I think Goldberg can stick it out. If you're just going to brawl, which I think is what it's going to be. Goldberg's going to win. I just don't see how you can't. The storyline is Goldberg's trying to defend his son and he can't. I don't see it. Will his son interfere in some way? I hope not. I hope we don't see this, because then it's dumb. Then it becomes ridiculous. I think Lashley will lose, but he'll lose in a way that's like, well, Goldberg either got lucky, or if this wasn't a no DQ match, no holds barred match, Goldberg would have lost. That's, I think, why Bobby Lashley insisted on it's going to be a no DQ match. I think that was because he can hold on to that and say, well, Goldberg used something on me that in no way, shape, or form would ever be legal in a wrestling match. Therefore, I would have beat him if it was a wrestling match. But if it's a brawl, if it's just me against him brawling, you know, I'm not a brawler, Goldberg's a brawler, he had the advantage, he won. That kind of protects Bobby Lashley. So I'm going to go with Goldberg, Mike. I think Goldberg will win this. I do think it might be a little better than your normal Goldberg matches.
Right. It's kind of like what happened when Edge came back, and there was that match between Edge and Randy Orton that went all over the place.
Right.
You know? The reason why Edge won, he took it on top of the truck, and it was a pretty good match. We all say it was a pretty good match, but they went all over the place because Edge wasn't going to be able to, at that point, do any kind of 10-minute match in the ring, right? So they had to do it that way. This is just like what's going to happen tonight. And look, it's going to be one of those things where he's going to hit. They basically made an indestructible beast right now, Bobby Lashley. Even though he's lost here and there, he's an indestructible beast. And so what do you do with an indestructible beast? You have to hit him with something to make him destructible, you know? Something that's not tied down, a chair, a table, something. you know?
Yeah, something's going to happen that's going to obviously be Bobby Lash's excuse to say, well, I mean, let's face it. That never would take place in a real wrestling match. Goldberg can't beat me in a real wrestling match. Yes, he did beat me because of that. But that's not what wrestling is. So that's going to be his, you know, built-in excuse. Todd, who you think's winning?
I'm going to go with Goldberg on this one, too. And last time Goldberg and Lashley went at it, Lashley won the first match.
Yeah. So we get Big E and Drew McIntyre. Gee, I wonder who's going to win. Drew McIntyre's going to SmackDown. I wonder who's going to win. I hate when the WWE does this. I just hate it with a passion because it just takes away all of the momentum, all of the everything, suspense, everything from this match is taken away. Obviously, Big E is winning. You can't make it much more obvious. What, Drew McIntyre going to go over there and then there's no titles going to be on Raw? Is that what you're telling me? Really dumb. You know, this match, it's a shame, too. Drew McIntyre deserves better than this. I'll tell you why. If you had built this up the right way, where Drew McIntyre was staying on Raw, this could have been a really good match. And there's so many things you could say as well. Is Drew turning heel? Maybe he will win even as a face because, you know, they went with Drew before. He was an okay champion. Maybe they don't like the way Big E's drawn or whatever. At least there would have been some shadow of a doubt. But if you're going to sit here and tell me Drew McIntyre is going to win and take both heavyweight championships to SmackDown and there's going to be none on Raw, well, that's ridiculous. So quite obviously, Big E is winning this, Mike, and then Drew McIntyre is going to go off to SmackDown and start other feuds.
Right, and think about this, Marcus. This is, in any other situation, this would be a damn fine match.
Right.
You know, I mean, you look at Drew McIntyre, you wouldn't think, you look at Drew McIntyre, you look at Big E. Big E's, you know, five, six inches shorter than McIntyre, but he's just as powerful as McIntyre, even more so in some respects. So this would be a damn fine, powerful match, you know, a power match, and
we lost your phone a little bit. But you're right, Mike, and that's why I'm angry. I'm angry because I'm saying, man, if you did this right, I would be really, really into this match. I would be like, this is going to be great. This is going to be a really solid match, and I'm very much looking forward to it. It's still going to be a solid match. But because we already know what's going to happen, we're just waiting for the inevitable, so I can't really get into it. It's like I've already seen the ending of the movie. And that's the problem. So, quite obviously, Todd, Drew's got to lose.
Oh, you're absolutely right there, like you said. Like you said with Drew McIntyre, I know he's not winning the match, no doubt about it. This is Big E's first title defense on a pay-per-view.
Right.
And Big E, he's going to retain his belt no matter what.
Yeah, this one, again, Mike is so right about that. This could have been something really good. You literally wasted this match. And WWE does this a lot, by the way. Anyway, SmackDown Women's Championship, Becky Lynch versus Bianca Belair versus Sasha Banks. You've already given this away, I think. You've already given it away. I think Becky Lynch is easily winning. Not easily, but I mean, it's easy to see that Becky Lynch will win this. It'll be a good match. It'll be a tough, hard-fought match, but Becky Lynch is winning it. Pretty much has to, right? I mean, I guess you could say Bianca Belair could, but then what's the point of giving it to Becky Lynch to begin with? You're just going to give it back to Bianca. So I don't see it. I don't see it at all. I see Becky Lynch winning. Your thought? I think Mike's phone's out of range. So let me go to Todd. Todd, what's your thoughts?
You're absolutely right there, like you said, about the Becky Lynch, the Bianca Belair, and I forgot who's the third person in this. give me a second here.
Charlotte.
If Becky retains the SmackDown Women's Belt, they're probably going to do like they did last year, where the Street Profits and the New Day swap belts, like they did last year.
That's exactly right. Yeah, that's exactly correct. That's exactly what's going to happen. Let me try Mike again. I think he's back. Mike, what's your thoughts?
I agree. You know, and that's the thing. I mean, think about it. You swapping belts. I mean, it didn't make sense last year, but it kind of worked, you know. I mean, of course, you had two face tag teams doing it, so of course it worked, right? So, I mean, and look, as annoying as you may think that the Street Profits are, they are a popular tag team as of right now. Now, would it be easier to turn him face, turn him heel? Sure, probably so, but we'll see. But, I mean, because of how they've handled things, the WWE with the draft and everything, this whole pay-per-view, I mean, I'm not for going to Crown Jewel, going to Saudi Arabia anyway, but because of how they handle the draft and stuff like that, the pay-per-view in and of itself doesn't make much sense.
No, I agree with you. And by the way, these women will be wrestling in basically a suit of armor because, of course, they can't wear their normal ring gear in Saudi Arabia. All right, let's go to the main event. This one's interesting. Paul Heyman did a very smart thing. Paul Heyman put out a statement saying, I will be walking into Crown Jewel with the Universal Heavyweight Champion. And I promise you, not a prediction, a spoiler, I will be walking out with the Universal Heavyweight Champion. Well, that's very smart of Paul Heyman. He didn't say who. He did not say who. He just said he's going to be walking out with the Universal Heavyweight Champion. That could be Brock Lesnar. If there's any spoiler to this, and I'll call it a spoiler in case there are people listening who really don't want any inside information on this that could lead to them understanding who's going to win. If there's any spoiler on it, it would be that according to his contract, I think Brock Lesnar's taking some time off again. Now, could he take time off and still be the champion? Yeah. He's done it before. But it doesn't, the way things are now, it doesn't sound rational. And from what I'm hearing, he's not coming back until right around maybe the Royal Rumble. So he's getting just a few weeks off, month off, a little more. A lot of people are saying this is where Paul turns on Roman Reigns. I don't think so. I think they sort of wanted to test the waters and say, can Brock Lesnar fly on his own? Can Brock Lesnar take that microphone and get through to a crowd? And the crowd's been roaring when he comes out. Crowd's been roaring. And while he's not the greatest guy with a stick, by any means, he's done all right. So I think they might be thinking, you know what? He's doing okay. Fans are wanting to root for him anyway. And they love Roman Reigns as a heel, and he's selling so much merchandise as a heel. This isn't the time to flip him. So I do think Paul is going to stick with Roman Reigns. I think Paul is going to factor into the ending of this match, and I think he's going to cost Brock Lesnar. I think Lesnar is going to lose, disappear for a while, possibly win the Royal Rumble. So I'm going to go with Roman Reigns to win this. Mike, what do you think?
I'm going to go with Roman Reigns to win this as well. And frankly, it kind of would, I mean, we know they want to do another match between the two, but also, hell, you know, it could also set up, it could set up that other match, but it could also set up him going over to Raw. And at some point, because we know that's a money match as well, him versus Bobby Lashley at some point, with Bobby Lashley being the heel.
Yeah, absolutely. He absolutely could. He could absolutely head to Raw. he has very clearly said, I can go where I want to, remember. I mean, let's just entertain the idea that the reverse happens. Then where does Roman Reigns go? Clearly, if Paul Heyman turns on Roman Reigns, I would imagine that Paul Heyman and Brock Lesnar are the heels. And that leaves Roman Reigns as a face. He hasn't done anything at all to indicate that he might be kind of sliding into being a face. Usually when they're going to do that, there's a writing on the wall. You can see a little bit of something and you're like, they're starting to ease up his villainous potential. They're going to flip him soon. I don't see that from Roman Reigns. And I think they got a longer story to tell here with Naomi before they flip him. I do think he's going to flip. I just don't think it's going to be immediately. So I think Paul's going to stick with him for a while. And remember, Paul could always go back to Brock Lesnar. Paul could always say, you see, I proved myself. I helped you win against Brock Lesnar, the man who I once called my closest friend and advocate for and everything else. So I've proven my loyalty to the tribal chief. And Roman Reigns could say, absolutely you have. It's beyond a shadow of a doubt now. There is no doubt. And then if Paul was to turn on him in a few months, they could always say, well, we had that all planned. We never intended to win in Crown Jewel. All that was to do is to make sure that you trusted me 100%. So you didn't beat Brock Lesnar. Brock knew what I was going to do. And if that's the case, woo, then you got something because you say, oh, wow, how about that? Paul and Brock Lesnar really put one over on Roman Reigns. So you could still do it, Mike. You could still make that switch and still get a couple of months out of it.
Right. But then again, Paul has all but said that the Naomi thing is on the table. He said it. He himself has said it.
Yep.
So are they going to want to screw that up? Are they going to want to go back on that word that Paul Heyman, who's basically, you know, been a straight up guy, you know, in terms of this type of stuff, has said that the Naomi thing is on the table. It's going to happen. It's just when, you know, so obviously it's planned on that happening. So are they going to want to jeopardize that?
Well, I don't think they'll jeopardize it. And here's why. Here's what you got to remember. The way Naomi's being treated, she's a face. Naomi's being treated very unfairly by Sonya Deville and Shayna Baszler and all those people. She's a face. So maybe they're waiting for Paul Heyman to turn on Roman Reigns. Naomi gets welcomed into the mix with the new face bloodline, and they go against the authority figures, because now if they were to introduce her, it would almost make Paul Heyman and crew seem like they were faces, Mike, because Naomi's being treated as a face.
Yeah, she's being treated as a face, but then again, it would be, I mean, look, right now, we know what Naomi's gimmick is, feel the glow and all that stuff. It would be very easy to change her ring gear, just a little tweak here and there, to where it's more heelish-looking ring gear and having her act like more of a heel. But, yeah, you could easily switch the entire crew to being a face. I mean, to my knowledge, Paul Heyman has always been a heel.
Yeah,
you
pretty
know?
Much.
He's never really been a face.
Right, so that's what I'm saying. I mean, at this point, if they did that next month, let's say, what, Paul Heyman and crew are going to help Naomi overcome evil Sonya Deville and evil Shayna Baszler? Well, then they're faces. And that doesn't work, faces. So that is kind of like muddling up the bloodline. If they wait and introduce Naomi after the bloodline turns face and maybe Paul turns on Roman and crew, then that does make sense because they are all family and now they're faces and now they're trying to take care of the family. So there are some subtle things in there. I still think, though, that coming out of Crown Jewel, Paul Heyman is representing Roman Reigns, and Roman Reigns is the champion. What's your thoughts, Todd?
I got to go with you on this one. I'm going to go with Roman Reigns retaining the Universal Championship over Brock Lesnar. And like you said with Paul Heyman, he's going to probably end up staying with the Bloodline.
You know, here's the thing that makes this interesting. We have said many times on this show, all of us have said, sometimes the best wrestling match isn't the most interesting wrestling match. I mean, the best wrestling match on this card could potentially be Finn Balor and Xavier Woods, or it could be Seth Rollins and Edge. But I think the most interest is on this match. It's not going to be the best match of the night, but it is going to be the match that has the most interest, because you have told a story that people are interested in the next chapter. This is what really good wrestling writing looks like, when you can take a match that will probably be average and make it more interesting than matches that are quite clearly going to be better technical matches. And that's what my point has always been, Mike, about professional wrestling, is if you could get them on the same page, if you could say, not only are we going to have a great match, but the psychology and the storyline is going to be there too, then that's when you get your five-star matches. The problem is people are just saying, oh, if they do all their moves, great, that's a five-star match, even if there was no story. I disagree. You have to have both. More people are interested in Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar than they are Finn Balor and Xavier Woods, despite the fact that Finn Balor and Xavier Woods is going to be a better match. So if you could have made Finn Balor and Xavier Woods have the same suspense or the same buildup as perhaps a match like Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar, you would have had that five-star capability. It seems that WWE can only do one of two things. They can put two really great athletes in the ring and say, go ahead and wrestle. Or they can put two guys in and say, they're good athletes, but they're not going to have any major match. But boy, are we going to make a storyline that you're interested in. How come they just can't do both?
I don't know. How come they can't do both as well? Here's something else to think about, this whole blood Naomi thing. You know, she goes with the Bloodline, then the money match with her automatically becomes at some point her versus Sonya Deville.
Yep, that's right. Well, and that's where it would go. And of course, Sonya Deville's got power because she's a GM. That's exactly my point. I think they're going to have to wait till the Bloodline turns face before Naomi sneaks her way in there. Otherwise, it's going to muddy up the waters. And I think they've got something planned with Naomi and Sonya Deville and this whole power structure. So we'll see what ends up happening. Crown Jewel, this time around, is much more interesting than the other ones that they've had. The other ones they had are just thrown together shows that really didn't have any storyline ramifications for when they got back to the States. It was almost like it's a different time period, different time zone. We're in a different timeline. Don't worry about what's happening on Raw or SmackDown. This doesn't matter for Saudi Arabia. This time it does, much more than ever before. So I'm actually looking forward to this. And, of course, Friday we will be here at 12 noon to run down everything that happened. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.
Wrestling Chat Radio is a Savage Blade production.